in celebration of Jim Carolla's upcoming 92nd birthday. Here's a list of 92 things Jim Carolla has never done. Number 24. Eaten at a three-star restaurant. Just one of 92 things Jim Carolla has never done. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
More accurately phrased, never eaten above a two-star restaurant.
Yeah.
Because some people may mistake that and think he skipped to the four-star.
Who are Jim Carolla's Mexicans?
His wife.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen that.
I remember I had lunch with him like 10 years ago, and he was complaining.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, stepmom, she's out. She's on the ladder. She's cleaning out the gutters, and she's talking to the guy about doing this, and she's doing all this. Like, relax. I said, you better fucking hope she doesn't relax. She does everything.
Yeah.
Here. You understand?
Yeah.
I do like the people that don't do anything get annoyed. He's like, he's
okay
always doing something. He's like, yeah, because you don't do anything. That's why she doesn't want to be on the fucking ladder cleaning out the gutters. She wants you to do it, but you don't do any of that. And you have the temerity to be annoyed by it. Ugh.
Yeah.
I've dealt with
how
a few
old is
of those
she
ways.
That she's up on the ladder?
At the time, you know, she was probably like 69 or 70 or something.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen those gutter commercials. No woman's supposed to be up on that ladder. They had whole seminars where they're talking about gutters.
So your dad wasn't handy like you?
Oh, boy.
I'm asking the wrong. There's a history
he's
of this
take
answer?
A nap.
Okay. Forget it. Strike that. you didn't let me ask Dr. Drew the question. So now it's still in me.
No, my dad didn't do anything, but it's not. What is being handy? Being handy is sort of like saying, you know, I don't know how to make my kids lunch to bring with them to school. It's like, yes, you do, or you can figure it out. You don't want to get up before they get up and make sandwiches for them. I get it. Like, I don't want to do that either. But let's call it what it is. Like, being handy is just a little curiosity meets a little motivation. It's not a skill
and
per
practice.
Se.
Yeah, it's a practice.
It's a little bit of I do things for myself.
Yeah.
I take care of business.
Yeah.
But like we've talked about, Ken, my neighbor who knows everything,
Chris.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to say Chris.
Chris Evans, I thought.
Yeah, Chris Evans when he comes over and you know fix
mm-hmm.
my toilet,
mm-hmm.
he knows little tricks.
Yes.
That I would never if you don't grow up around. He grew up. He's a Kansas guy or he's an Oklahoma. And so I'm saying you didn't grow up around this.
Yes.
I didn't realize your hatred for your dad ran this deep that you lashed out by being handy.
Yes, I rebelled by learning skills that had a practical application.
Right, and then every time that woman got up on the ladder, when he's yelling at her, he's yelling at you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, except he never got out of the chair to yell it at him. He just never did it.
Yeah, that also required motivation.
Yeah, it required something. He didn't do that.
All right, we have a Lil' Kim song. It's going to bring me back to the Man Show office. What year is this from? I heard this coming from my office with my gay assistant, and I was like, what is going on in there? 1996. It's an important message for the youth.
Who was it? Tipper Gore with the warnings on the...
Uh-huh.
Okay. Is hardcore part of the warning? Or?
All right. She wants to come 21 times?
Good for her.
All right, let's... roll down a couple calls here. Mark, line 1, 65, Arizona.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, what's going
on? How are you today, buddy?
Good.
Hey, proud of your boy, Doc. I don't know who the fuck that third guy is, but he seems all right.
Fair to Midland.
Jeez.
I had real high hopes for him in like 2005, and it just didn't really come to fruition. But he works.
This is part of a Betty Ross having me on.
Yeah.
So I was speaking with my wife last night, and I'm so glad Dr. Drew's on it because this is kind of something he could speak about. We believe that progressive people in these big cities are keeping these homeless as human pets.
As pets.
Look, so if they were pets, that implies some responsibility for caretaking, which they do not. They use them as tools, for sure, for their shitty policies and ideologies. And I think it's murder. It's certainly manslaughter because the way they are allowing people to – the structures they have set up leave people to die of addiction. They deny that it's a progressive illness. They deny that their policies are doing this. They prevent people from actually helping these folks. And that's it. They're going to die.
You know the problem, really, if you just think about it, the homeless advocate expert, we let people anoint themselves. Like, I'm a race expert. You know, I'm Al Sharpton. I speak for black people. Like, oh, yeah, okay. Well, here's a message to give back to the black community. And then tell us what they thought. Fuck off. They're no homeless expert. And then they become this sort of coalition. Then the money gets behind it. They're like, now you want policies? Well, hold on. I'm an expert. You're not an expert. No one's a fucking expert. Look out your window. These people are ODing and dying in the streets. We're all fucking experts, shithead.
There are experts. These are sick people. The experts that take care of sick people are called doctors and nurses, but they are not allowed in this outdoor asylum that they've created. It's literally a hospital without walls. And no doctors, nurses.
Why aren't they allowed?
Because these people are living. Is my mic on?
Mm-hmm. Drew, yeah. Stop throwing
your
mic around.
Your volume probably.
Okay. They're living their best life. Who are you to say? They want to do drugs? So what? It's up to them. Let them do what they want to do. There's zero understanding of brain disorders. Who? And because they are not doctors, they're not psychologists, they have no fucking idea what they're talking about. And they in a massive denial about this being a progressive illness. And people are dying as a result.
What? How many years ago was it? 3 years ago, you tried to be an advisor on the LA.
That was like a year and a half
City
ago.
City Council.
No, I was called by the chairman of the LA Board of Supervisors, and she said, "I want you to go on this LASA thing, this organization that sort of distributes the billions of dollars they have for homelessness." And I was like, "No, nah, come on, this just sounds like torture to me. It just sounds awful." Then she begged me, "Please, please." I thought, "All right. I should go in with an open heart, an open mind, and learn what they're doing so I can understand better what exactly is going on here." Oh, my God. People reacted like fucking Beelzebub was pointed to the
– backlash.
The only doctor, only physician would have been – I would have been the only physician anywhere in any of the organizations serving homelessness.
All right. It's LA Times had to launch against you.
That witch.
Who was that bitch?
I wish I could remember now. Jackie something. Please, maybe you got your help. But here's the thing. She goes,
you wanted a volunteer.
The Board of Medical Quality Assurance says that he has a license in California. Uh-huh. I called her up and said, I fucking two boards. I was assistant clinical professor. What the fuck are you doing? Why did you ask me? Why did you look at my YouTube? Why did you Google me? Look at my website, anything. I have years and years and years of leadership positions in hospitals and in academic positions. You didn't ask and you didn't look and you made it seem like I'm just some sort of some sort of random guy off the street. It's terrible. It's just disgusting.
What is the solution? What would Dr.
Easy.
Drew do?
Oh,
it's easy.
I did it for 30 years. I treated these people. These are my patients dying on the street. You need more residential beds. You need more step-down care. You need more psychiatrists. You need the change in the laws. You have to stop legalizing drug use, stop legalizing trafficking, stop legalizing camping. You have to make people – you have to address people and go, hey, you can't do this. You got to come over here. It's all you have to do is ask something of people who are dying of this disease and get around people like me who know how to do motivational enhancement and keep us there while we work on them and do the work and get them detoxed. So much
to
do.
So when you say this disease, are you talking about addiction?
Addiction's the primary thing on the street. But also things like schizophrenia is out there. Maybe 5% of these people have that. And schizophrenia, if it were dementia and you didn't treat it, you'd be guilty of patient abuse. But the exact same symptoms caused by another illness called schizophrenia, you're not allowed to touch. And the crazy thing is you can't change the natural history of dementia. They're going to get worse no matter what we do. With schizophrenia, if you stabilize the condition early, they can live relatively normal lives and be preserved. You let it go unchecked, they're destroyed for life.
But a lot of these people with addictions, I think you would know better than me, but I feel like they don't want help.
they're in an illness state where they don't know what's going on. And when you get them 2 weeks outside of it, they literally look back and go, what the fuck? People left me like that? I can't believe it. It's called anosognosia. It's actually a brain condition that prevents them from seeing what's happening to them. Of course they don't want it. I've never treated an addict that didn't want to do drugs. That's the disease state.
Right.
People came in because their family made them come in. The courts made them come in. Something made them come in, always. And
but Gavin Newsom says a real face of homelessness is a mother of three with a full-time job.
It's Jacqueline Cosgrove, by the way.
That bitch.
This is the headline.
Drew, are there
– listen, you go, so what are you being a douche to Jacqueline Cosgrove for? Well, because they're getting people killed all day, every day with their fucking horrible rhetoric.
Yes.
As if the L.A. City Council is doing a good job of homelessness. You have a doctor who would be the only doctor
who's
volunteering.
I had an interview. They said, I'm going in with open mind, open heart. I want to see what's going on there.
No.
You're some sort of criminal that wants to criminalize homelessness. You want to put homeless people in jail. It's the last thing I want to do.
Are there any states or countries that are handling this situation better?
Every other country in the world other than us would never do something like this. No other country does this. Right. This is some insane ideology that's causing people with psychiatric disease to die. And most states do a much better job than California. California's the worst by far.
When is this from?
So this is from April of 2021. First off, the headline, Dr. Drew is the wrong choice for LA's homelessness authority. That was the Times editorial board.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jacqueline reported that he got pulled.
This is coming on 2 years ago. Did they appoint another doctor? Then if you're the wrong doctor, and then what have they done about the problem?
No doctors. I think Andy Bales finally got in there, which I fully support. He's the LA Union Mission guy.
All right,
they got some really good snarky lines in here. Like,
okay. Stop it.
Dr. Drew, as he is known in his many media appearances. Like, he's not known that around the hospital.
Yeah.
Just in media.
His media appearances. All right. Well, there is a question.
She should be ashamed of herself. It was worst reporting ever.
It was
really disgusting.
Look, the same editorial board called Larry Elder the middle-aged black man from South Central, the black face of white supremacy. Yeah. They're just fucking they're fucking nuts, and they're assholes, by the way. And there's no bargaining with the LA Times.
No.
You become a shit rag.
I have said
no
forever, I don't do into. I told Catherine Barga that when she asked me to do the interview. She goes, oh, Jacqueline Cosgrove, she's good. She's all right. You can trust her. So I thought, all right, I'll go in carefully, but I'll go in, and because my heart was clear, I just want to go in and learn about this thing, what they're doing. This is what I get.
All right.
These people are disgusting. Oh, my God.
Wendy, 53, got a question for Drew.
Hi, guy. Anyway, hi, guys. I just wanted to talk about the medical industry, and maybe this kind of goes from what you guys were just talking about. But I never thought in America that going to pick up a regular prescription would be such a problem, but everything is backordered now. Like, I went to pick up, I have a really bad lung disease. I'm dependent on albuterol for my nebulizer. They don't have it. You call around to other pharmacies, they don't have it.
I've noticed that albuterol is short. What lung disease? Do you have asthma or CP or something?
I have Plantagenet syndrome. So I have ciliary dyskinesis.
Oh, my. Well, that's nice.
Yeah, it's bad. I'm on a vest like four times a day, and I have to be on a nebulizer, you know, at the same time. And I always call my prescriptions in super early
Wendy, the crazy thing is, I think you know, there's a lot of other alternatives to albuterol now, like Xopenex and things like that, that are actually much more expensive. But they put you in that position where the insurance is going to have to cover that. So talk to your doctor or pharmacist about getting some alternative things going.
Thanks, Wendy. One more.
But your point is well taken. The fact that we can't get drugs, can't get medicine. I mean, this is
that and catalytic converters.
Yeah.
Where are we supposed to look when the caller's talking? We're all looking at the screen. Is that where we're supposed to?
I would say within. You said some things that were very hurtful.
I think you started today.
And I think for you, your best look would go inward. You know what I mean? Examine some of the things, some of the accusations.
I think that moment where you said I didn't live up to your expectations and that you put Jimmy in there, which makes it even more hurtful. I feel like that's going to be isolated and it's going to go viral at my expense.
No.
And there's a lot of truth to it, so that is hurtful.
We need peace, you guys.
Not from this show.
Yeah, you got to have a name to go viral.
Oh, my God. Vince Vaughn just texted me. He said, there's no way you live next door. There's no way.
Well, he promptly moved out. Ryan?
Hi, Guy.
Hi, Guy. What's going on?
Not too much. So on Adam and Drew, a couple weeks back, you were talking about how the social movements have all gone totally awry and they're sort of proclaiming crazy things. So I have a theory that I think you'll agree with one, and then another that sheds puts a little bit of nuance on it. I mispronounced nuance. First is what Douglas Murray, not sure if you've heard of him, he wrote a book called Madness of Crowds that's all about this issue. But he calls it the St. George Retirement Syndrome. So St. George is a dragon, went out and slayed the dragon, and after all the dragons were dead, he could be seen slaying smaller beasts until in the later years of his life, he was swinging the sword at thin air.
They need something.
Essentially, with gay rights, it's like, okay, we've got marriage, we've got everything. Now we want, I don't know, like, it's something beyond that, more than equal.
Yeah, but they want to push back. They don't want what they say they want. They say... You'd be horribly an antisocial if you said, what I want is to be combative and agitated and push back. No one would listen to you. You have to say, what I want is gay marriage. And then you go, okay, here's gay marriage. And they go, okay, moving on. And then we'll get to transgendered bathrooms and birthday cakes and whatever the hell else we're going to get onto.
It is interesting. I'm trying to think about how it relates to Don Quixote, which is really – a parody of a previous generation's values, right? The old knights and their old chivalry and all that stuff. And he went out to find that where there wasn't anything and ends up tilting at windmills and all the things he did.
Like a more sort of concrete example, the inverse is like World War II. We wanted to beat Germany, wanted to beat Japan. And then once we did that, pretty much packed it up and just went home and just sort of got back to it. But that's an example. Yeah, we left behind some forces to keep the order and stuff like that. But our plan was once we've beaten them, we're moving on. We're not going to just say we want to beat Japan, we want to beat Germany, and then just keep moving on to other countries in English and Asia or in Europe and Asia. We stopped. Like, if you say you want something and you get it, you usually stop. There is no stopping the movement. That's what I've discovered, because we're now into sort of la-la land, but they're just there to agitate. Yes.
I think that sort of lines into the second part of the theory, because so normally the movements start at something reasonable and then progress, you know, get over their skis. But the second one is where the transgression is the point. So that would be like the trans movement didn't start with intersex, where it should have. Everyone can agree that people who are intersex, you know, deserve to be called whatever they, you know, whatever they live as. But it jumped over that. So it'd be like instead of doing gay marriage, starting with gay marriage, they would just start at, you have to bake me a cake. They went straight to sports. Like they started talking, like before doing, they skipped over intersex and jumped straight to, no, Ronda Rousey needs to fight dudes.
It's the pronouns or Latinx or whatever. It's like, say it, give us your, it's like, fuck off. And everyone goes, why don't you just do it?
Wear the mask.
Yeah, because it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. Yeah, just put the mask on. Doesn't make sense. Just do it. Do it anyway. Just mask up in between bites. It's all science. It's perfect science. Yeah, I know what it is. That's why I resist it. I didn't like the lockdowns. It's just for 2 weeks. It's just for 2 weeks. Relax. We're just going to close the schools for a little bit. We just got to take some plexiglass and hang it from fishing string. That's all. Because it's science. We're science-based. We believe in science. You know what I mean? I just put the mask on for, you know, half the flight or whatever. I was always like, I'm not doing this because you assholes never show any sign of slowing down on any of this, which is what I believe about most movements. And then you start getting into some sublime thing where it's like, what's wrong with drag queen story hour 1619 projects? Like, oh, you guys can't stop.
Maybe your dad had it right.
You can't stop.
Just do nothing.
My dad's a genius. He's on the sofa right now. Not a care in the goddamn world. Not a care in the world.
This guy is on to something.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do some, take a break, come back and do some news right after this.
There's 7 billion people on this planet, and we're giving tax breaks to people that have children? How about rewarding the people not overpopulating the planet? I should be able to cut out the UPC code on my condoms, attach it to my 1040. I want a rebate. You know this wasn't the plan. You know, just 100 years ago, there was just 1 billion people. God probably took a little nap. Said, oh, everything's fine on Earth. I'm going to take a little nap. Wakes up. What are they doing down there? 7 billion people, they're sluts. Give me the book. What did I tell them? Be fruitful and multiply. That's a typo. I said be fruitful and pull out. Why would I?
Orny Adams is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Orny's got some dates, I should say. He's coming up Houston, Texas, the Riot Comedy Club. That'll be March 31st through April 1st. And then he's off to Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club, April 13th through 16th. I'll be at Jimmy's club on March 9th. And if you want to find out where I'm going to be, you can go to adamcarolla.com. And if you want to find out Orny Adams' dates, you just go ornyadams.com. All right, what do we got?
Well, I want to bring up Scott Adams, a different Adams.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in the news right now. Yeah, so he recently made some comments online in response to a report. The report was, quote, they're asking people, it's okay to be white, and they pulled black people, white people, and said, and so Scott read the report, and the report found that 72% of the respondents agreed it's okay to be white, including 53% who are black. All right, so this is and this was Scott Adams' take on that. Plus,
53% of blacks said it was okay to be white.
Yes.
All right.
No, the opposite, I think.
No, it's 53% said it's okay to be white.
All right. Are they all in one place? Because I want to hang out there. If they're scattered about, now I'm worried.
Well, Scott had some stuff to say about that. Okay. Too.
So if you know nearly half of all blacks are not okay with white people, according to this poll, not according to me, according to this poll, that's a hate group. That's a hate group. And I don't want to have anything to do with them. And I would say, you know, based on the current way things are going, the best advice I would give to white people is to get the hell away from black people. Just get the fuck away. Wherever you have to go, just get away. Because there's no fixing this. This can't be fixed.
And in response, a lot of places have pulled Dilbert, which is Scott Adams' comic strip.
I just love that. I love when we have to do something.
Yeah.
You know, we gotta get Dilbert. The cartoon. I remember very clearly, I don't know why, Mr. Bernal came in here a few years ago and explained I was a hero about a story I forgot about because I have low self-esteem. When I was in his class in like 1981, my buddy Ray leaned over on that hardwood chair, let a fart go that just was deafening, just deafening. And then he yelled at Ray, Mr. Bernal yelled at Ray, you, God, I've had enough of this, you know, because Ray was always, go stand outside. And Ray had to go stand out of the classroom in the hall for 15 minutes or something like that. I was laughing so hard that Mr. Bernal needed to do something with me, but Ray was already outside, and he couldn't really send me to the principal because I wasn't the one who farted.
He didn't want you two assholes out there in the hall.
He just like, he kind of looked at me, he's kind of incredulous, and he was like, "You, Adam, move your seat." You know, like, I got up, I walked like 7 feet away, and I sat down at an empty desk. Like, okay, and he's like, "Yeah," because he had to do something, so it wasn't going to accomplish anything. He just had to do something.
But wait a minute, somebody got sent to the principal's office for farting?
No, they're told to stand in the hall.
Just time out,
right?
Oh.
So Adam laughing, if he was sent to the principal's office, that wouldn't fit the crime. So he had to think
of
something.
But these are two involuntary reactions. Or
yes.
Bodily.
Well, Ray.
Ray knew what he was
Wait
doing.
Wait a minute. Did he move his?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. I'm sure the taint was up in the air somewhere. I'm sure.
The fist pump.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. No,
he shouldn't be in the hall.
Yeah. I found it so hilarious that I couldn't stop myself. But so that's what we got to do. We got to make a move. Take Dilbert down. I don't know.
Should thank Ray for that.
You're thinking Scott Adams. A, this is the definition of F me money. If you everyone thinks I want F you money. F you money is like you going, you sued me for $150,000. I don't care if I pay $300 in court fees. I'm taking you to court. That's kind of,
F you.
That's F you money. Yeah. This is F me money. Like, I'll never work again, and I don't care because his net worth is $75 million. So this is an F me money move. I mean, like, Elon Musk buying Twitter is like an F me money move.
Mm-hmm. And he had a response to this. Do you have Elon Musk's response
to
this?
Oh, I forgot.
That's true.
Yeah.
He did.
Drew
studies Scott.
A lot of people with money acting out.
Oh. Yes. You know
essentially,
Scott
Musk went on to say is that all media is racist.
Towards
somebody.
Yes.
Used to be towards black people and then Jewish people, and now it's towards white people. It's always been racist.
That's right.
And Asians, he said, too.
And so same with universities and
educational
system.
He said the same thing
system.
Happened with elite colleges and high schools in America.
Yeah. So I know Scott very, very well. And he's been building up to this for a while. I actually called him about a month ago because he started stuff like this. So he was doing some little A-B testing, I think. And I said, Scott, I feel you're priming us for something. He said, of course. Everything I do is premeditated. Everything. I'm a hypnotist. I'm a persuasion expert. And I just let it go there. I didn't want to know where he was going. But he's been experimenting with what it takes to get canceled. Mm-hmm. Because every once in a while he'll say some stuff like this and go, they didn't cancel me. He went all the way to the mat this time. And then the other things he's experimenting with is how media creates hoaxes. And he's sort of been making the point of this, which is that he gave a preamble to this and he gave multiple interviews afterwards contextualizing what this statement meant and what he meant by it and what it was. Of course, none of that gets reported. No. Even you guys don't report that.
That's the clip everyone's watching.
Yeah, and so there it is. And I am worried that he picked the wrong fight. He found the third rail.
Well, he wanted to try to experiment with getting canceled.
And he did say a couple times, I listened very carefully when he talks, the reason I got involved with him because I was interested in persuasion and I sort of heard some of his little podcast about hypnotism and stuff. I'm interested in human behavior.
He's super smart, by the way.
And at the time, I was upset about Trump. Trump was upsetting me. He was like I was one of these people that was having I wasn't having Trump derangement, but I was like, God, would the guy shut up? And then Scott sort of made sense of what he was doing for me from a persuasion standpoint. I thought, all right, at least it makes sense from somebody's perspective. But in any event, more recently, he's also said things like, I'm searching for freedom. I want total freedom where I can say anything I want. And this seemed like sort of the start of that.
What was his whole thing with identifying as black?
For years, he's been saying, I'm black. And I'm so on board with the black community. And you can identify as ever you want today, he said. So I'm black. That's it. I'm identifying as black. And he gave all his reasons for it. He did that for years.
Do you know if this is a form of artistic expression, if it's a guy who's gone delusional, if it's a guy who's really so evolved and smart that he's doing this to open our eyes
These
to something?
Are all the points he wants you to think.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thoughts he wants you to
what
have.
What do you think?
I don't know where he's going. I feel I'm very frightened that he picked the wrong topic because there's I say this all the time, and you give me shit for it all the time, Adam. But there's things that as a white person you do not appreciate, and you have to pay very careful attention to that. And I don't think he appreciates what he doesn't appreciate.
And what are those things?
You know, being Eurocentric, being raised in a certain environment. And I read Frederick Douglass to help me understand what I don't understand.
I think
and,
we all do.
No, I recommend it to everybody. So the words are
that's
spectacular.
That's the dad from My Three Sons?
No, it's
he's
the dad
on Flipper.
No, that's Fred.
Oh, yes. No, yeah.
It was the dad on Flipper.
Or Gentle Ben.
Yeah, that guy. Or no, it was
he had me as Fred McMurray.
Fred McMurray. I read that guy.
Yeah.
He did audition for Leave It to Beaver, didn't he?
He was in Flubber.
Oh,
that's true.
All right. Well, let's do another story.
All right. Well,
it's scary that not to defend Scott, but that high a percentage of black people saying it's not okay to be white.
I think that's why he picked his moment. With
yeah, that's not a great look.
Also, yeah. How is this a real study? Was this in that?
It was a Rasmussen poll. And the question was, I believe, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, is it okay to be white?
Right.
Which is a very vague, bizarre question.
It's almost people like the Anti-Defamation League says that the question alone is racist.
Right. Mm. That's right.
Yeah, it's a trigger.
And so the whole thing is a fucking mess as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I'd rather – I hope – I just want Scott to make it through in one piece. You know, good for him. I know he's not a racist person, but I always worry when people – you know, I know how careful I want to be.
So. I'll give him your regards at the next rally. I'll see him on Saturday.
With your torch?
We don't. It's a daytime rally. It's a matinee. It's a rally matinee, I'll see him there.
But they still light the torches.
If I know him, somehow we will all learn something from this.
Yeah. He's a provocateur.
Yeah.
He's conducting an experiment on all of
that's
us.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, we'll be surprised with those.
It's not horribly unlike when Dave Damashek would show up to the Super Bowl game and show up to the press conference and say to the opposing coaches, is this a must-win game?
Everyone, almost just as much outrage.
Everyone just dives in and goes, that's nuts. Is he nuts? Yeah, he's trolling you guys to see how you react. All right.
Yeah. All right. So Vanderbilt University's Peabody School in Tennessee, so they're apologizing to their students because they sent out an email about a mass shooting at another university, trying to comfort the students, letting them know that, you know, we're thinking of you and we got to take care of each other, particularly in the context of creating inclusive environments. And then at the end, it read, by the way, this letter was written by AI.
Oh, my God.
Like, wait, we used AI to write this.
Wow.
So, of course, once the students read that part, they're like, this isn't personal at all. And they are now feigning outrage as well.
Yeah, it was a couple of female professors are trying to, you know, get a little glory being so sensitive, but being basically Jim Carroll-esque in their work ethic, like farming it out to a computer.
I mean, it's a good letter. It actually like
talks
AI,
about AI inclusiveness and coming together. AI is going to be a shit show because AI is already super woke, and we're not going to get any good information out of AI because – we can't because it's already super woke because whoever programs AI is super woke.
Yeah, Mike Chaffee actually went to ChatGPT and said, hey, rant as if Adam Carolla is ranting about red tornadoes. And then we read it and Lynch went, my job is safe because they didn't use the word pussy once.
Oh, good. Yeah. Very so what AI is going to be, it'll be like sort of like – PolitiFact or something like fact checkers. Like you go, I think COVID came from a lab in Wuhan. And they go, yeah, no, let me check. PolitiFact fact checker says you're wrong. Right. Oh, okay. So you guys have somebody checking facts.
Which did happen.
Who agrees with you on everything.
Yeah.
So this is going to be like PolitiFact. Like, I don't think masks are effective. Well, PolitiFact says they are. You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, this is nice that you've hired an entity to make you right who calls themselves like PolitiFact, like Southern Poverty Law Center has labeled this a Dennis Prager a hater. You know, it's like, yeah, because they're super progressive, bought and sold. You're going to then people cite them. So now we're going to get into arguments and people are going, no, AI said that the vax was good for you. And now we're fucked again. Thank you. By the way, the same people who are running PolitiFact and AI are accusing everyone on the other side of misinformation. by the way.
Why don't we ask AI what it thinks of AI?
Oh, someone must have already. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Chris is on that.
Well, speaking of the Wuhan lab, so new intelligence has prompted the Energy Department to conclude that an accidental laboratory leak in China most likely caused the coronavirus pandemic.
What?
No way.
I know.
You're a conspiracy theorist.
We're all sitting
down.
For reading that, you're a conspiracy theorist.
Oh, Ben, look up. I think Politico or PolitiFact or whatever did a fact check.
They did.
On
a few years ago. Well, I mean, yeah, remember years ago,
not
even
true.
Floated the idea. Jon Stewart went on Colbert and floated the idea. He was ridiculed. People. If you posted anything like that on Facebook, you were banned. Twitter, you were banned. Like,
two things I love. One, the FBI had already determined this in 2021, but that was look it up. That was carefully hidden. So the FBI had concluded, not with a low probability, high, moderate to high probability, that it was a leak. FBI. Then, shit, what was the other thing I was going to talk about? God damn it.
Long haulers.
He is long haulers.
Well, Fauci also, remember, he would say no gain of function.
Fauci's going next, Drew. I got some bad news for you.
You got something specific?
What have I been telling you for 2 years?
He's trending right now as we're speaking.
Right now.
Oh, yeah, because everyone's...
What have I been telling you?
That he was adulterated.
Yes, he's corrupted.
Corrupted.
And he will be going down, too.
Yep.
Well,
he said something that, in retrospect now, like, really troubles me. You know, one of the most... sort of standout, extraordinary slogans from human history about totalitarian states is l'état c'est moi, the state is me.
Mm-hmm.
He said science is me.
Yes, you can't question.
It's a very similar kind of a thing. It's
you can't question him. You're questioning science.
That's so crazy.
He's such a sanctimonious douche, and all the fucking idiots in Hollywood just fucking bought their candles and worshipped at his altar. You guys all owe me a fucking apology. It's coming.
I was too.
Not their apology. Yes, Drew's already apologized.
Yeah.
Fauci's – they're not done with Fauci.
Who? I mean the dismantling of his
– once a couple of people who give a shit get him in front of Congress and start asking some questions, there's going to be some issues.
What was his motive?
Well,
it was either – well, first off, he was giving a lot of money to the – to the lab.
Eco healthcare
through eco healthcare. So he was funding gain of function essentially, but calling it something else essentially, but it was ostensibly gain of function. So there's basically him tied to giving money to this lab who was doing this kind of experimenting that we all sort of agreed was a bad thing. And so he had to get it out of the lab and onto the wet market. Onto the farmer's market with the persimmons, because
if it got tied
to the lab, then it would go back to him.
That was the other point I wanted to make that I think was so hysterical, was that it was racist to say it came from China, a Chinese lab, but not racist to say Chinese people are gross and they eat animals at wet markets, and they bat and they pangolin, and it caused an infection because they're so gross.
Yes.
That's not racist.
Listen, if you had two fucking brain cells to rub together, the Wuhan lab should have been filed right under the masking up in between bites on an airplane. Are you nuts? There's a fucking lab in China that works on viruses. Of course that's where it came from.
Viruses. Those sorts of coronaviruses in that way,
yes.
Which showed up on the bile of the fur.
The only good part of this chapter in our history is people that put together long montages of Chuck Todd and all the other talking heads on MSNBC and CNN wagging their finger at everyone. Joy Reid, this is the debunked theory. It's the greatest. That's my greatest joy. I'd much rather watch that than talk to my kids. I just want to watch these sanctimonious pricks from up high wagging their fucking fingers at everyone. By the way, put together a montage about the vax being effective, the mask being effective, where COVID emanated from. You could do an entire super 70s montage hit of Joy Reid and Chuck Todd just being wrong the entire time. Wolf Blitzer being there, they're all just fucking wrong. And I love that people are whacking together the extended dance version of them being wrong. Now, here's the deal. Why did you people listen to them? And why do you continue to listen to them when the next thing comes down the pike? Because it's always just the next thing. And you guys listen. And they go, well, who do I listen to? Listen to everyone who got thrown off of Twitter. The first people to go to is, why are you guys so insecure about your theme and your narrative that you have to take physicians from Stanford and Harvard and deplatform them? Why are you so insecure about this? First people you listen to now are the people who get thrown off. I'm not talking about, you know, hillbillies who are talking about, you know, lasers and Jews like Marjorie Taylor Greene. I'm saying board qualified physicians who've been in good standing with decades of history.
Not just good standing. Guys like Bhattacharya and McCullough, these are decorated professors.
Yes.
With
yes.
years of recurrent awards for yes. esteem as a professor and teacher.
Yes.
And hundreds of publications.
And then we got to get Fauci emails going. These guys need to be shut down hard.
Correct. Where is somebody supposed to get the correct information from? For somebody like me that believes in the
question.
CDC, what?
It's a great question. I, for instance, rely on the medical literature. I read medical literature like crazy. And it has been adulterated a bit. It's hard to figure out what's going on. You definitely can't go to bureaucracies. You definitely can't go to single sources. But it's there's going to be a consensus that emerges. It's just we're not there yet.
I'm somebody who would look at Dr. Fauci and go, this is a guy who's dedicated his entire life.
I was with him too all the way. Adam knows. I defended him
You called him your North Star.
Yeah, till eight months ago. He started saying crazy things and wasn't answering questions honestly, and things that I knew not to be true, he was sort of alleging they were. And I was like, well, this is weird. And then they were just way over their skis with the masks and the mandates and all this stuff. And I thought, well, this is not science-based. This is something else.
My view on the masks was, let's wear them. And if in 10 years we find out it was crazy and it did nothing, at worst, we just wore masks for a little while.
We knew it 18 months ago. The first study was out of Denmark 18 months ago. There was a second study 4 months later out of Bangladesh. And now we have a meta-analysis through Cochrane that shows clearly, categorically. We've known all along the surgical cloth masks do not work. That we've just known that.
But how can it not work when
– because these are aerosolized viruses. They're not spit. They're aerosolized. And so if you have anything here where air emerges, the virus goes out and 20 feet away.
But
by the way, 6 feet, invented. Completely invented out of whole cloth. There is no science. There was a group of not even doctors, bureaucrats in a room in Washington. I've spoken to some of them who were trying to decide between 3 feet and 60 feet. And they just arbitrarily picked 6 feet because they figured they'd get people
but
to do
the
that.
The mask has to stop something, right?
It sends it out the side and around the nose. Listen, even with –
So you're saying 100% is still getting out. The mask
maybe worse, maybe worse because it has a little bit of force as it comes out now. With the N95, if you have a seal – or a respirator, you're in good shape in terms of protecting yourself. You can't protect somebody else.
But why am I to believe you over a Dr. Fauci or somebody like
Fauci
that?
Fauci now admits it. Now and by the way, he started with masks don't work, and then he flipped. I don't know why he flipped. And back then he
was trying to get the kids crate trained. That's what
Do you think that this is a global, let's control the people? Is that where you think this is all?
I do to the extent – I mean, I think it's an element of, you know, you're on a highway, you're in a sports car, and all of a sudden the cops go, there's no speed limit here. And you go, well, I'm going to stretch my legs. Like, I'm going to see what this Corvette can do, you know. So guys like Newsom just went, let's see what I can do here. And that's – and I don't believe – so I don't believe they went – I want to hurt people.
No,
they just
no.
go, I want to rule people, and now I get a chance to rule them.
I'm not sure it's that clear cut. I talked to governors.
It became very politicized, and
they had
to do the opposite of any Republican that said open the schools. They'd say close the schools, and if Trump said this, they'd say that, and they didn't even know what they were doing. They were just reacting to be the opposite of DeSantis.
I talked to governors who were mortified by the idea that they were going to tell their populace what to do. It's like, I didn't become governor to rule. That's not my job. I'll give people the information and then they decide what to do versus governors who went, oh, I'm not comfortable. Not only am I comfortable, this is awesome. We're going to do this and keep it going and I'm going to lead everybody out of this. That's a terrible impulse for people. And so it was just this big divide between people who didn't feel that that was their job in a you know, free republic versus those that thought it was a good idea.
But we weren't even arguing over COVID 10 minutes into it. It was just, you know, DeSantis and Trump and the right wingers. They want to keep the schools open. They don't want to close the businesses. And then Gavin Newsom and Gretchen Whitmer and whoever go, well, then fuck that. We're closing everything. And that's where we got to. I happen to rather be on the side of the stay open people. I don't even know why that would make you a Republican or a Democrat. I just would like to use the beach when there's zero harm in using the motherfucking beach because it's outdoors.
And we knew that from the beginning.
And we knew it from the beginning, but I happen to live in a state where they close the beaches. And then you go,
so we'll label you.
Well, because you don't like Gavin Newsom. Yeah, guess why I don't like him?
And then
he's closing my kids' schools in the beaches. That's why I don't like
it. And then the problems of, you know, diseases of despair and depression, anxiety and addiction is now just predictable. So
that's
predictable.
That's what I believe. And that we have been mentally damaged.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I find that I'm foggier than I've ever been. I find I'm more agoraphobic.
Mm.
I find I don't trust people. Like, I find – my recall, I do, and I think that study is going to come out. And do I ever recover from this?
I think you do, but we need – I've noticed there's a group of people that are really, myself included, like craving social contact. It's kind of an odd – I don't know quite how to characterize it yet, but people are like – I go for every opportunity I had to shake somebody's hand. Handshaking was never a problem. It should never have been an issue. The thing is not transmitted on body fluids.
You
got
to wash your hands for 35 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
Happy birthday twice.
Yeah, that's right.
It's respiratory aerosols, not spit, not droplet, not body fluid, aerosol at a deep lung tissue. And, you know, we made ourselves crazy worrying about other people. Imagine you're 9 years old learning that other people are the source of terror and horror and death and are going to kill grandmother. Ugh, just such an awful thing. And it was awful from the beginning. It was obvious it was awful. And it was obvious that they took no risk reward into consideration.
Right.
They did not consider what the consequences would be. They just
did
it. And the crazy thing is now we have all the emails that show where did this come from, this idea of lockdown that had never been contemplated in human history, from the Chinese Communist Party. Fauci sent his little team over to China. Those scientists said, oh, yeah, we got it. We've done it. We've taken care of it. It's a lockdown. It's over in Wuhan. And they brought it home, told Italy to do the same, and that was what the whole world strangely.
So you believe the lockdown was a mistake.
We didn't follow. You all followed.
It's a huge mistake. China finally let it go. They're not doing it anymore. It's a huge mistake. Now, I have no problem with a few months of lockdown because it was confusing time, and I supported it. I was like, okay, people are confused. They're preparing for the worst. I think it's a terrible idea, but all right, well, let's see. And then evidence was very clear it wasn't doing anything, and then they kept it anyway.
In the efficacy of the vaccine?
I won't launch into it, but I will say follow the trajectory of anything. Just follow the trajectory. It's like first off, remember you get it and you never have to think about COVID again because you can't get COVID spread COVID once you get one shot or two shots. And then becomes you can get it, but it's not as bad. I want to see. I'm waiting for that study too because I'm not so sure about that one. But then you can get it, but you can't spread it. Then you can get it and you can spread it. Then you get the two shots and you're good, except for now you have to be boosted. Natural immunity. Fauci didn't know about natural immunity. All the years he's been studying the subject, didn't know quite what to make of natural immunity. 82 years old, been doing this for 60 years, had to wait. We're going to see. We'll see the durability. The durability of natural immunity versus the durability of an injection that's not durable.
They didn't know that at the time, to be fair.
Were getting the idea. It'll end up being bad for you. You'll end up wishing you didn't get
vaccinated. The problem with this is if we can't trust Fauci, then why do I go to the doctor and get a physical?
Well,
why
that's
do I
the problem.
Trust the doctor
that's,
when tomorrow I have to go to my orthopedic surgeon? Why do I listen to him?
I know.
Why? You
it's
know,
a problem.
Honestly.
Don't. Yeah, I agree.
Honestly,
you have
I want to believe.
Within.
So I think people want to believe Fauci.
Yes.
They want to believe the CDC. I went to Emory, where the CDC is.
But listen, you've got to be able to read between the lines.
But
you have to understand, when he's being questioned by Jim Jordan and they're going, any gatherings of any kind? He goes, no gatherings of any, no baseball, no church, no nothing, no games, no nothing. No. What about Black Lives Matter? What about those rallies?
But listen,
and you know what his answer is?
We're all thinking,
I can't judge. All right, now keep an eye on him.
But you've got,
you don't need to listen. When Michelle Walensky, head of the CDC, gets up there and starts talking about not letting her teenage son go to sleepaway camp, or she's worried as a mom or whatever, keep your eye on her. These are tells. These are tells that these people have been corrupted.
You have one side saying, don't trust the scientists, don't trust Fauci, and then you've got the other side saying, defund the police.
Now, so, but here's the whole thing. Like, don't fund, you know, don't trust the scientists. No, no. They said don't trust the scientists who anoint themselves experts and make policy. Jay Bhattacharya and all those guys, they're all scientists, too. Go listen to some other scientists. That's what they're saying. This, it's so convenient because they go, oh, all right, you don't want to listen to what Michelle Walensky, the CDC, says and Fauci says, so you don't trust science. Like, no, I think they've been corrupted, and there's a bunch of other scientists who I will listen to.
So
that's the problem. That's what it came down to.
Things, as I understand. So we rushed the vaccine because it was an emergency. We took extraordinary risks to get that vaccine out. I think that was a good thing. I think back particularly then we had Alpha and Delta and things were pretty nasty with that virus. We needed to do something extreme. We did it. And I think it may have given us some time as the thing, for the grace of God, transformed into Omicron, which is a much less serious thing. So I do think during that early day, it was exceedingly good. I really do think it was a good thing. It caused problems. It was a much higher risk than we would ever tolerate under normal circumstances. Mm-hmm. But I think it was the right thing to do. The confusing thing now is continuing to demand it in the face of a very mild illness that it particularly doesn't affect young people, where there are still questions about the vaccine. That's it. And the other thing on the CDC and Fauci and stuff, even they are starting to say now, well, we didn't do a good job on our messaging. And I think that is exactly the point. Their messaging was designed for like 1970, really 1980, where you had three or four networks and you had to repeat the same thing over and over again. And it didn't matter all the nuances and stuff. You just picked your thing and you stuck with it. Now that looks like lying, because everyone has access to so much internet information that that's just not the way to approach things at all. And both Walensky and Fauci got stuck in that. And I was part of Fauci's team in the 80s when we were using fear, which he used in this pandemic, to frighten people about HIV and AIDS. Right. He kept telling us, you got to convince them that 2 million people are going to die and anybody can get this illness. And if you have sex with somebody, you're having sex with everybody they ever had sex with. Remember all that stuff?
Yeah.
I adopted it wholeheartedly. I was part of that. I used fear actively. And we thought we did the right thing. Those were the seeds of what we saw here now, where those same techniques didn't work. And Deborah Birx was another sort of veteran of the AIDS pandemic and used that old playbook, and it was not the right playbook for this at all. And they need to sort of say that. Instead, Birx is feeling like a hero. So whenever the bottom line, if you have evangelical physicians on anything, it's how we got the opioid crisis. Evangelical physicians going, nobody's ever going to feel pain again in America. Pain is a fifth vital sign. Pain control is what the patient says it is. There were about three or four doctors that foisted the whole fucking thing. Same thing happened with COVID.
All right. Well, we just ruined Orny's world. You'll never trust anything ever said again. Let me give some plugs out. You can go to ornyadams.com and you can find out all his live dates. You can go to adamcroll.com and find out all my live dates. And you can check out Dr. Drew. Tweet him at Dr. Drew. Instagram, Dr. Drew Pinsky. Website, drdrew.com. And you can listen to him and I do our show and his podcast and After Dark and all that. So, until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Orny Adams and Dr. Drew and Chris Max Battis saying mahalo.
Make sure you get a copy of Adam's latest book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available everywhere finer books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. The Adam Carolla Show is recorded using Rode microphones, orchestra, and score provided by Extreme Music. For tickets to see the Ace Man, visit adamcarolla.com.